This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, Maddie's unlocked the key. Christmas music, baby. We're just the last couple of days away. Have you done all your shopping? I've done a lot of shopping, not all of it. A lot of it is in boxes, and I've got to somehow untangle that over the weekend. Well, watching the college football playoff, three games tomorrow, one game tonight, Notre Dame, Indiana. I was watching video, no surprise, in central Indiana. In South Bend, it was snowing pretty hard this morning. I don't know what it's going to be like tonight, but I know it's going to be chilly, cold, probably snowing, flurrying, what have you. Tomorrow afternoon, early on, if you missed our conversation with Jay Paterno, son of the legendary Joe, we talked a lot of Penn State yesterday. It's on the Odyssey app. Maddie's got it all cut up and labeled for you at theteam980.com as well. In the podcast section, 3 o'clock yesterday, it was a good conversation with Jay Paterno on the college football playoffs. So Penn State, SMU first up. The game I'm probably the least intrigued by. In the middle, Clemson and Texas. I mean, I guess for me the only question is, can Texas... Texas hasn't been able to beat Georgia twice this year, even with a backup quarterback in the SEC championship game. They've beaten pretty much everyone else. So can Clemson kind of hang in there? Probably not. Probably not. I think that might be the most one-sided game of the four. I mean, these games could go wild either way, turnovers, what have you. Saturday night in Columbus is really intriguing for me. Not because the matchup is so great, although, you know, Tennessee with the no-huddle spread and all that, you know, Josh Heupel and all that, they can move the football. But can Tennessee find a way to beat the Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus, eliminate them, and then what happens to Ryan Day? Despite all the proclamations that Ryan Day is coming back, how do you listen, I don't blame coaches like you all do, but I mean, at some point, something has to change, right? So that's what I'm intrigued by in the college. And don't forget, you got two NFL games tomorrow. You got Kansas City and Houston first up at Arrowhead with Hollywood Brown good to go, apparently, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. And then you have Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh, which is always a tough game. And always fun, especially if you like a little defense. Maybe both teams are not as defensively inclined this year as they normally are, but we'll join the Texans-Chiefs game in progress here on the Team 980 tomorrow afternoon after Terps at Syracuse coverage. And then tomorrow night, we won't have the second NFL game because it's Baltimore. We're not allowed to do that. Tomorrow night, we'll have Wizards at Bucks. And, of course, our game day coverage on Sunday begins at 9 a.m. with the Force of Earl. Earl Forsey, as we get you set for 1 o'clock kick, Commanders and the Eagles. All right, let's get to Dontell and Frederick before I get into some of my other things that I think are important. Again, do you agree with me that Dan Quinn has to coach this game, not recklessly? There's a difference between not every fourth down decision is the same. There's a difference between fourth and five and fourth and two or fourth and three. There's a difference, right? And yes, duh, 2 yards is the difference. Well, that 2 yards can be monstrous one way or the other. And it's more likely to not work out in your favor, obviously, the bigger the gap is. And would you basically agree with me that on any fourth and one, fourth and two, in reasonable scoring territory, in field goal range, let's call it 55 and under, or what would be a 55-yard kick and under, meaning ball at the no worse than the Philadelphia, say, 37, 38-yard line, that you're going for it. You cannot put this game on the leg of Zane Gonzalez and just hope that it works out and just say, hey, man, we have trust. No, you can't have trust at this point. Sorry, it just doesn't work that way. Like, you know who I have more trust in? Way more trust in? Jaden Daniels. Cliff Kingsbury. Terry McLaurin. Hell, I you know, don't know if Zach Ertz is going to play. Certainly Zach Ertz. You want to go further? Brian Robinson in the flat on a screen. I have way more confidence in any of those combinations, any of those guys. Hell, Jamison Crowder, for God's sakes. Way more confidence in those guys, that combination, Jaden to whoever, than I would Zane Gonzalez. Now, again, if it's 4th and 6 at the 25, let's call it, of Philadelphia, as much as I don't want to kick, I would kick. But again, if it's 4th and 3 or less, I'm going for it. And I think Dan Quinn should go for it. And I'd be very disappointed if they don't have that mindset this week. If I sense what I sense, Dan Quinn has already basically made up his mind in a couple of these scenarios. I don't know how many people care about this. I care a lot about this. A lot. Because that's what this game is likely to come down to. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Dontell and Frederick. What up, D? How are you?
Chris, my man, what's going on, man?
What's shaking on, Dontell?
Dude, you know you the GOAT of Sports Talk Radio, man. You know you the GOAT.
Ah, I don't know about that, but I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
Let me say this. I mean, it's got to do with game flow, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't just have Zane sitting over there like, Zane, we don't believe in you. We're going to keep you off the field as much as possible. So if the opportunity presents itself for us to get a lead or something, then we have to trust this man like he's Mark Mosley. I mean, he's on our team. We got to take the lead when we need to take the lead. I mean, we just can't
right,
leave
but
him
he's
over
not,
there and say,
but,
hey.
But he's not Mark Mosley. That's the problem.
Right, and I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that one. But I still say we can't leave him over there and make him feel completely shut out. My question for you, Chris, because I ain't heard nothing yet, is what's up with KJ Osborne? Is he doing anything?
I haven't received any official word. He's practicing. He should be able to play, and he should be able to contribute. I'd be stunned if he's not able to play on Sunday. Now, if he's not able to play on Sunday, to me, Dontell, I take that as a bad sign. I take that as either A, the system is too complicated, or what they're asking him is too complicated, or B, that this kid has fallen off quickly. Because remember, things did not work out for him in New England with not a lot of competition around him, quite honestly. You know, but yet he was so good and so useful in Minnesota that... And he can play outside and inside. I'd be really, really – like last week, I had no doubt that he was not going to play. Understood. He didn't get there right until Thursday, all that stuff. This week, man, there's got to be a limited package or something that you can get 12 to 15 snaps out of him, if not more.
Yeah, because I trust him a lot more than I trust the other guys that we have. And Chris, I don't know if you have time or not, but I'm scratching my head here because I need answers to a question that I just can't get anywhere
right.
else. I can't
fire
it.
Away. I'll do my best.
All right. It's offbeat, though, because I was listening to the Cheehan show this morning,
mm-hmm.
and he said that the Kansas City Chiefs game, if Kansas City loses, that keeps Cincinnati alive. What does that have to do with Cincinnati? Kansas City's 13-1. I don't know what that means.
All right. So,
do you have any idea?
I don't know. Let me just pull this up. I was reading something this morning. Okay, so Cincinnati right now to make the playoffs, according to ESPN Bet, is plus 600. But here's the scenario. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer it from a Kansas City perspective because I wasn't aware with Kansas City and Houston. I'm trying to pull it up here. And, of course, I'm struggling to get the actual scenario. All right. So Adam Schefter put this out earlier this morning. And here's what it is. Let me get this. Sorry, I'm just going through a million tweets here. So I know this is terrible on the radio, but being that you asked a specific question, I want to get you the answer. I believe Cincinnati has to win. Okay, here it is. Cincinnati. Now this is specific to Cincinnati. Okay, Cincinnati has to win their last three games, no matter what, against the Browns this weekend, against the Broncos, at the Steelers. The Broncos have to lose, after losing last night, their last two games at the Bengals against the Chiefs. And they need the Colts to lose once and the Dolphins to lose once. So, I mean, it starts with Cincinnati needs to win all three of their games. Browns, Broncos, at the Steelers. And then you need a bunch of other permutations to take place because they're with the Chargers win, they're 9-6. The Bengals are where they are, right? At 6-8, and the Colts and the Dolphins are also 6-8. So that's why you need all those other scenarios for conference tiebreakers and so on and so forth. I don't believe. I'm not sure. I didn't hear what Kevin was talking about, so I don't want to say one way or the other. But under the scenarios that were painted by Schefter this morning, unless he's wrong, I don't believe Kansas City and Houston has anything to do with Cincinnati making the playoffs. That's as far as I know. Maybe I'm missing a scenario that hasn't been laid out, but that's the deal.
Well, I appreciate you, Chris, but I couldn't see Kansas City losing, helping Cincinnati any, because they're so far apart.
Yeah.
But if I don't get a chance to talk to you, Chris, happy holidays to you, buddy.
Merry Christmas, pal.
I won't talk to you no more this year.
No, I appreciate you, as always. I appreciate all the calls and listening and all that stuff, and thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dontell. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and your family. And if you don't celebrate Christmas and you celebrate, you know, Hanukkah or whatever, you know, happy holidays is just the safest, I guess, way to say it. Merry Christmas for those that celebrate Christmas, which is many of you. You know what we're talking about. We're not trying to be insensitive to anybody, and whatever you celebrate, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, you know, all of that stuff. And really, you know, on behalf of Matt and I, sincerely thank you for listening, right? I mean, it's not easy to, I got to be honest with you, it's not easy to do AM radio anymore. You know, we have a great app, as you know, the Odyssey app, which levels the playing field a little bit, and a lot of you listen to it. And a lot of you use it both live and on Rewind and on podcast. And we thank you. We can't thank you enough. But it's not easy doing AM radio in 2024 anymore. It's just not.
Want to buy a DVD?
But the point is we don't let the handicap that we have to overcome, essentially, affect what we do. We do the best we can. It's not perfect. We do the best we can to give you a different show every day. A different sounding show. I often say we don't do cookie cutter radio. There is no greater like truth than that. Like, I'm not saying I do the best show. Not saying this show is perfect by any stretch. I'm not saying that I couldn't do things better or differently. I know I can. But we do not do, and when I say we do not do cookie cutter radio, that's in comparison to a lot, locally, nationally, what have you, that I hear that quite honestly puts me to sleep.
Honestly, you might not like what we say, but we guarantee you won't be bored.
It's a good way to say it. And we won't be the same as everyone else. We do some similar things, but, you know. All right, let's get to our guy Sean in Connecticut, who I was able to hang out with for a little while at the Army-Navy game on Saturday before he went to New Orleans to see his Commanders eke out a win. Sean, it was great to see you, pal, and your dad. Happy holidays, obviously, to you, and hope you had a good trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. It was really great to see you. I think the last time I saw you was last year at the game, so it was good to catch up, and happy to hear that you're doing well. And yeah, it was definitely a busy weekend. I flew out the next day at about 6 a.m., but I mean, I can't complain about going to football games back-to-back days, so I'm not going to. But what I will complain about is it was way too close. A win is a win. That's all that matters, that you win, that you won. But for a litany of reasons, that game was way, way, way too close. Watching it, those, what, almost three touchdowns that were inches away to Terry, that was just brutal. The missed kick, which I knew he was going to miss it, was brutal. It reminds me at the beginning of the season when we talked about it, you made the prediction that we would lose at least one game from kicking. And yes, of course, you can't blame the game on one play, but that's already shown to be very true. But my hopes for this Sunday, the NFL is weird. Like, I just have a strange feeling that the Commanders are going to get a win. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be perfect. But and obviously this is wishful thinking too. But I think they can win. I think the game the last time they played was it was closer than the score made it out to be, because I think it came down to that one sequence. It was like 4th and 2, and they ran a QB keeper or yep. whatever it was, and he got stuffed.
Right, where they should have gone for the field goal in that spot.
Yeah.
Because that was before all the place-kicking problems occurred, and you could have taken the lead, and you could have gotten the points, and while it wouldn't have guaranteed you a win, it was a long 4th and 2, if I remember correctly, and your offense had struggled for the most part all night. You know, again, every game, as you know, takes on a different context and a different feel. And that's why you should not solely or exclusively or primarily rely on bots and analytics to make your decisions for you. Every game has a feel. In that moment, Sean, I'm sure you probably felt the same. I can't remember if we talked right after that or not. In that moment, I think everybody felt, and of course it's easy to say this, that they should have kicked the field goal to take a 13-12 lead and taken their chances in that regard. Now, again, easy to say after the fourth down failure happens, but I remember in the moment, I thought they should have kicked. Now, on Sunday, I'm calling for a different thing. Like, if it's 4th and 2 from the 12, I got to be honest with you, even though that's a very makeable kick, it's what, a 29-yard kick, and any field goal kicker should make it, I just have no level of trust in Zane Gonzalez at this point. None.
Yeah, and I think I will say, though, like you said, it's a lot easier to – hindsight is 20/20. But – I didn't hate going for it last time. I just didn't like the play call. And I felt like that sequence of plays, they turned first of all, I think it was a bad spot on a Bates catch, and then it led to a 3rd and inches that got blown up. And so it wasn't just the fourth down play, it was the whole sequence that was super frustrating. But just to finish up, what I want to see on Sunday is what, like, Frankie Louvu was talking about. Also, Frankie Louvu, talk about a great signing. I can't say enough good things about him. Mm-hmm. But he talked about how it's just going to be who it's going to come out of who wants it more and who's more physical. And I think just the NFL is just weird. Like, we barely beat the Saints, and the Eagles steamroll they beat the Steelers pretty easily. So I just think it's one of those games. And we know how this team in years past loves to break streaks. And the Eagles are on, what, a 10-game win streak?
10-game winning streak.
So I just think... Yeah, I just think it's going to come together. Obviously, unfortunately, the Eagles are a good team. I think we've had our problems stuffing the run, and that's their strong suit. But I think it'll be close, and I think that we can inch out a win, and I really, really hope we do, because there are not many things in life that I hate more than losing to the Philadelphia Eagles, including losing to Navy. That was
I was going to say that was a rough day for you. That was a rough day for you.
Yeah, it was. Football is football. It's always a great time to be at the game, no matter who wins. But yeah, great to see you, Chris. Great to call in. I really appreciate what you guys do and your friendship and everything. So keep on keeping on, and we'll talk soon.
You're my dude. Happy holidays to you and your family. You know, it's always good to hear from Sean in Connecticut. Yeah, we did spend probably about 15 minutes or so in the cold. Like, Maddie, right about where I met you the last time we were both at Northwest Stadium, right around in that area, it was cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cold on
the
Saturday.
The wind honestly whips through that area.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it was a cold day in general, but it was not warm. You know, and even though with a lot of bodies flying around for the Army-Navy game, and, you know, again, the game was not itself great. What a shocking Navy one-sided win. But that whole, the whole pageantry, the whole weekend, the whole everything, I can't say enough good words about USAA and everything that they do for that game and for me and, you know, all of our coverage. All right. When we come back, I want to revisit that fourth down situation in Philadelphia and where the game unraveled in general. Plus, I have some other things that I want to get to that I think the Commanders need to do besides, again, limiting their turnovers to one or less, and besides getting two-plus turnovers, and besides not depending on Zane Gonzalez and the place-kicking situation. We'll do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, my guy, AWOD, Adam Epstein, who you will hear tomorrow morning right here on the Team 980 simulcast with 106.7 The Fan, and you hear on the Odyssey app down in Richmond, Monday through Friday, normally from noon to 3, will join us coming up. He was with the Junks this morning at MGM National Harbor, as you heard here on the Team 980, their annual holiday drinking show. He's at the Wizards game last night, so we'll touch base with our guy AWOD coming up in just a wee little bit. But real quickly, back to what we were kind of talking about, what Sean was bringing up, and again, just to revisit that moment, right? It was a 12-10 game. After Philadelphia scores the touchdown to take, again, a 12-10 lead. Washington goes down the field using John Bates, who had three catches, I think it was. And they're driving, and you're like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden they face, after a John Bates 9-yard catch on a right flat route, they spot the ball. Right? And it is a little short, right? And I remember at the time, maybe it was a little controversy on where they spotted it because they thought they had the first down. And then Brian Robinson gets blown up for no gain. And then Brian Robinson gets blown up for a 1-yard loss. And then they decide to go for it on 4th and 2 from the Philadelphia 26. Again, it would have been about a 44-yard field goal. Not a guarantee. But it would have been at that point, the kicking problems hadn't started, and they went for it on like a student body roll to the right, and it was blown up pretty quickly, no gain, and boom, out. And the context of the game changed because then Barkley came back, and just a couple of plays later, after they weren't able to get the takeaway on the fumble, on the big play down the sideline, Calcaterra recovered it after after Goddard, who's not even going to play in this game, fumbled it. They could have gotten a break there. They did not, and then Barkley punched it in. Let's quickly, before we get to AWOD, let's get to our guy, Mr. Lepore, who's, of course, based in Philadelphia now and used to work with us here at Odyssey DC and is always monitoring and helping things out. How are you, pal?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing good. You know, better flying solo on this side of the glass today. And, you know, after I had to play romper room over the last couple of days. But, yeah, we're doing okay.
Well, when you have children on the radio station, yes. It kind of makes it hard to corral things.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, I think this weekend, I'll tell you a perspective from up here in Philly. People are worried about this game. They aren't taking the Commanders lightly because they recognized last time Jaden was hurt, and it was that one play that really turned the tide. They know this is a game that they can lose. And you're right, the NFL is very weird. I think this could be kind of like with the I think it's a pandemic season when the Steelers were undefeated or only had one loss, and yep. You know, they came to Washington. And it was a really weird game.
No, it was in Pittsburgh. They were undefeated at the time. It was that weird Monday afternoon because of COVID. You know, I was there, and Washington won. Chase Young had a big play at the goal line. Alex Smith, I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, nobody picked the Commanders to win that game.
Yeah, no, I think there's proof in the pudding that while maybe – no one expects us to win. There's going to be the opportunity to win. And I agree with you on the not trusting the kicker situation. If it's 4th and short, I mean, I know Cliff wouldn't do this because he's too smart and too creative for this. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, little Jerry McNichol and Brian Robinson in the backfield with Jaden Daniels just to on a 4th and short and do like a triple option. to really mess with that interior line. But I think, A.J. Brown's coming in hurt. I think there's an opportunity to take advantage of that, get physical with him and try to get physical with him with Lattimore. But, Jalen Hurts is also hurt. You saw the fumble.
His finger on his left hand is broken.
And he can't carry the ball in his left hand. So if it's in the right hand, just peanut punch that thing. But I think on defense, it could actually, I think we, as long as he's feeling very oozy and, we raise our ones in the air and acknowledge the Washington Commanders tribal chief, Frankie Louvu, who should be a Pro Bowler this year. I think he could end up having a huge impact on this game and causing problems for Jalen.
And just a quick side story, I did ask him why he calls everybody Oos, and it's not because of the Usos.
No. I think that's it's a cultural thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I did ask him that just to clear that up. I had to know. No, you're right. I mean, listen, what also can happen, by the way, is what happened on that trick play touchdown to Kamara. Please don't, hopefully they don't get Frankie Louvu lost in space against Saquon Barkley or somebody out of the backfield on a screen, on a wheel route or something, because that's not his strength. Going backwards is not his strength. Going forward is his strength.
And I think keep Benjamin St. Juice off the field. No more. We're done.
I don't think you're going to see much of him.
So. And score prediction, which I know you'll lose the rest of your hair. Yeah, I think the Commanders win this thing 34-31 on a game-winning field goal.
Ah!
And it's going to be a 50-yard field goal. And it's just going to drive you nuts.
I mean, it would be so fitting for my luck if that's after spending all this time worried about it and barking about it, if they line up for a 50-yard field goal or something similar to that and win in walk-off fashion. It would be so much luck. I would be happy, though.
Whatever takes predict.
Yeah.
As long as it's whatever opposite it kicks predict.
Happy holidays to you and the fam, pal. I appreciate you as always. All right. I'll talk to you down the line. That's our guy, Alan Lepore, who's now based in Philadelphia. Used to work with us here at Odyssey DC. Coming up next, a guy who does currently work with us at Odyssey. Of course, AWOD, Adam Epstein. You'll hear him tomorrow morning here on the radio station Simulcast with 106.7. He was with the Junks this morning and more. We'll talk to AWOD next. Oh, you got to make those wishes come true, baby. All I want for Christmas is AWOD on the radio. Yeah, baby. 2:37 on a feel-good football Friday right before Christmas and right before the Commanders take on the Eagles. Joining us now, you hear him Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 910 The Fan in Richmond. And, of course, on the Odyssey app, you hear him occasionally on the Junkies. You'll hear him tomorrow morning, as he is most Saturday mornings, simulcast on both 106.7 and here on the Team 980. And maybe you'll hear me as well tomorrow morning. My guy, AWOD Radio, Adam Epstein, joining us right here, right now, on the BetQL guest hotline. AWOD, how are you, pal?
Chris Russell, what's good, man? How are you? Happy Football Friday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A feel-good Football Friday, especially if the Commanders can beat the Eagles. Before we get to that, you had quite the last 24 hours. I know you're normally on the radio at this time. You're taking the day off. But you had a special VIP all-access pass to the Junkies, not only the holiday show, but you were what? At the Wizards game and stuff last night, right?
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable. So, on Tuesday, I decided to take it upon myself and invite myself on the Junkies Boys Night Out. I called in and begged EB and Lurch if I could be included. They agreed, and so I headed up to Washington, D.C. And so yesterday I got to MGM about 4 o'clock, met up with the boys. We went out to RPM, had never been there before. Valdez hooked it with a private room. Unbelievable. The amount of appetizers they served us, it was enough to feed 20 people.
Yeah, it looked like you guys had an amazing spread.
I mean, it was unreal. You know, the star power of the Sports Junkies is real, and the power of radio was on full display on Thursday. And so after RPM, we went over to the Wizards game where they were hooked up with the Hennessy Loft Suites and were hanging out, you know, on the court, sitting next, standing next to Jordan Poole and getting unlimited amount of drinks. I mean, you know Michael Marr from the station.
Yes.
He took full advantage of that. I mean, every time I saw him, he was ordering a new drink. So we had a ton of fun last night. Got back to the casino. I actually won $300 on blackjack.
Boy,
woke up this morning and watched the Junkies Holiday Show, which was a ton of fun.
How did you get now? Were you actually up and down there at the sports book at 6 a.m., or did you sleep in a little bit and then come join the boys?
I knew that if I had to commit, you got to fully commit to the bet.
Yes.
And so I was up until 1:30 a.m. gambling. And then up at 5:30 and down to the stage before the show started at 6.
Look at you.
Because I knew if they crack the mics at 6:01 and I'm not there, I'm going to get the biggest amount of joning. So I made sure I was there.
Attaboy. How was I know you had a great dinner. You mentioned RPM and all that. It looked fantastic. How was the Wizards game last night? They actually won for you.
They actually won, and they played so well. It was so much fun to watch. Corey Kispert went off. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, why are they not playing him more minutes? He's so good at times. But I think they're trying to lose on purpose, and that's why they're playing Bob Carrington and Alexander Saar. But, yeah, they finally won a game. How about that? I mean, LaMelo Ball, let me just say, that dude sucks at putting up three-point shots.
Mm.
He shot, I think, 18 and made three of them. He's shooting them off 1 foot. He's shooting them step back. It's like he doesn't care. He plays street ball basketball. And Chris, I don't know if you've done this, but I've been boycotting the NBA. So even just going to the game was really the only time I've watched more than just a quarter this season. The product is horrible, but being there at the Wizards game, I mean, you got to credit Monumental and Ted. They've done a great job to kind of redesign the inside, and now they're working on
yep.
the outside.
Yep. Yeah. Though, first of all, I got to say this, and those Hennessy lofts right behind the baskets, amazing experience. I got to do that once last year. My guy JVS took good care of me and always does.
Yeah.
And Tyler and I are going to go to next Thursday night after Christmas when Charlotte comes back into town. So looking forward to that. That'll be my first Wizards game of the year. My guy Awad from Awad Radio, of course, you can hear him tomorrow morning right here on the Team 980 and as well 106.7 The Fan. And of course, normally from 12 to 3 on 910 The Fan in Richmond and the Odyssey app. He's with us, of course. You know him from Junkies fame and all that stuff. So you said you won big and you got out of there and you're alive and you had a great time. Was there anything, before we get to the Commanders, was there any like big takeaway, funny story that maybe didn't make it on the radio that maybe you could share a little bit with us? Did anything crazy happen behind the scenes that maybe wasn't on camera or wasn't on the radio?
You know, let me think about that for a second. But I will say credit to all of the diehard listeners
yeah.
on the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan of the Sports Junkies. For about 28 years now, they've grinded away, and a lot of that here in the mornings in Washington, D.C. And that was my biggest takeaway. I was blown away by the attendance.
People
were taking
yeah.
off work. They were pretending to work, you know, working mobile, but sitting there in the sports book. That place was packed.
Yeah.
It was like every single seat was taken, and MGM has a really cool, you know, sports book there where you have like nice seating too. So I think that helped bring people there. You're comfortable, you're relaxed, grabbing some drinks, grabbing some food. And, you know, the show was awesome. It was so much fun hanging out with the guys. And, you know, I don't know if this is a crazy story, but drab t-shirt knows his limit. And we went out and after the dinner and after the Wizards game, we went to gamble, and drab t-shirt called it a night. And it was, there was no,
I heard it was at like 9:30 or something like that, or was that cakes?
Cakes was early. Drab was probably like 11:30.
No, that's not too bad.
But we had just taken out money from the ATM.
Oh.
And then I think I lost $25 on craps, and he was like, that's it, I'm out. It's bad luck tonight. And then as soon as Drab left, I started winning.
You started winning. So all you needed to kick Drab out for Drab to be an old man. I love it. I love it. Adam Epstein is with us. Again, AWOD Radio. You can hear him tomorrow morning, simulcast 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980, starting at 9 on both stations through 11:30 here on 980, leading into Maryland, Syracuse basketball. And, of course, you can listen to him on the Odyssey app at 910 The Fan in Richmond, Monday through Friday, noon to 3. Normally, he's off today because of what we're talking about with the Junkies holiday drinking party. All right, let's get to a couple of minutes left. Some serious thing. I have a fairly good feeling about Sunday, and I don't know if I'm officially going to pick them to win or not, but I think they'll keep it close. I said, you know, a turnover or less, and they need to generate two turnovers or more, and they cannot trust the place kicker as just kind of like the basis of what I'm thinking it's going to take to win this game. If the Commanders are to win, what do they have to do in your eyes?
Yeah, I think you point to three things. Number one, we have got to get off to a fast start. So what I'm calling for is the very first offensive possession for Washington to end in at least 3 points or a touchdown. I want to get points on the board, take a lead, and force the Eagles to change their game plan and shift the amount of times they want to run Saquon Barkley. I go back to that first time against the Eagles, and it was 7-3 over and over and over again, and Washington did not make the most of their opportunities. So that's number one. Number two, I'm with you. We got to win the turnover battle. I was calling for Jaden to have a turnover clean game after the bye, and he did that last week. It was an ugly victory, but he did not have a turnover. I want him to double down on that, and you're right. I mean, you add Marshawn Lattimore. I think we're a much better defense now than we were when we played Philadelphia earlier in this season, and I'm not sure that Jaden was even at 100% at that time. And the last thing I look at is third down conversions. We have got to be better on third down than the first time we faced off against Philadelphia. And you know, that might be Jaden taking off with his legs. I actually went behind enemy lines with Chris McPherson, who's an Eagles insider, and he told me that he thinks the most important matchup is Bon in the middle and N'Kobe Dean against Jaden Daniels, because he's going to take off and try to run, and they limited him so well the first time.
You know, that's a great point about Bon. He has had a monster year, and I don't know if it's because he plays behind those two behemoths, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I'm sure that's a big part of it, or if it's the new defensive coordinator or whatever. So to me, I said, from a running game perspective, like, and those guys can flow, N'Kobe Dean you mentioned as well, but from a run game perspective, they, even with Biotish back, and Biotish was banged up in that game on that Thursday night, Wiley was banged up, B-Rob had just returned from a couple of games out, and he was on a limited pitch count, Jaden was banged up. To me, I think they're going to have to attack and stretch the perimeter of the field and try and do it that way to wear those guys out, and also more up-tempo, more no-huddle by design to try and keep those guys on the field and keep them from staying fresh and substituting.
Yeah, no, I'm so with you there. And then, you know, Jay's got to connect with Terry McLaurin. He was so close against the Saints there late in that second half there. And, of course, you know, against the Titans, they had such a great connection. And Terry's had two touchdowns the last two games at least. So I just think that they have got to hit. And I'm like you. I feel really good about our chances that Jaden will connect with Terry McLaurin and that the defense will get stops, as they played probably their best game of the season in the first half against Philly. Jalen Hurts went to the locker room, had to get evaluated for a concussion because of how many times they were putting him on his ass in that game. And then in the second half, there was just no pass rush. We ran out of energy. The offense stuttered, and so the defense didn't get a time to rest and relax there and then get back on the field. So I do feel like our defense is going to put more pressure on Jalen Hurts. I do think with Marshawn Lattimore, the Joe Witt Jr. Dan Quinn will feel more comfortable stacking the box, knowing you have a pretty good corner in the back end there against A.J. Brown. But you know, if Saquon goes off, we're not going to win this game. So I've been saying I want four hands on him in the backfield. Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong coming around the side and run blitzing against Philadelphia to make sure we take Saquon out of this occasion.
Well, the big thing in terms of that for me would be, like, Like, if you noticed against New Orleans, they ran around, like, they ran the loop, right, from both sides, and they were able to rattle the cage, no offense, of Hayner, the first half quarterback. And then if you do that against Jalen Hurts and or with Saquon Barkley, right, what I worry about is if you don't get home, if you don't get there, do they take off up the middle by the gaps that you lead? And they've got to make sure, no Jonathan Allen, you know, this week. Again, as was expected, even though we return to practice, maybe next week. But they've got to make sure that they don't leave that back door, if you will, open for those guys to exploit it. Awad, I appreciate you as always, brother. Have a great show tomorrow morning. I'll talk to you down the line then, and we'll get after it again. Glad you got to go to the Wizards game and have some fun with your guys, the Junks. Sound like a blast. Thank you as always, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, all right?
Brewster, thank you very much, man. Always appreciate you having me on the show.
You got it. That is Adam Epstein, again, host AWOD Radio on our sister station, 910 The Fan in Richmond, Odyssey app, Monday through Friday, noon to 3. And, of course, here on Team 980, 106.7 The Fan, most Saturday mornings, including tomorrow morning, from 9 until about 11:30 before Maryland-Syracuse basketball. Take a timeout. More on the Commanders and the Eagles coming up, plus our dueling Super Sunday six packs. We will get it done, baby, including the Commanders and the Eagles against the spread. That's still to come in the 3 o'clock hour on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. If this doesn't get you in the Christmas mood, I don't know what will, boys and girls. Don't know what will. So, we kind of talked about this game in a number of different ways. Just talked to AWOD. Again, turnovers, obviously the key to every game. Not that it guarantees you if you get two or more turnovers and if you only turn the ball over once or less, but that is a huge thing. Being able to run the ball to the perimeter edges, not trusting the place kicker, things that we've talked about all game long. What I'm curious by is how are they going to make up in the screen game? Because that was really the only part of the offense that was kind of effective in that Thursday night game. Now, again, every game takes on its own. Nothing that happened before actually matters. That's just what people lean on and use as a crutch. So, for instance, in that game, okay, Austin Ekeler had 9 targets, 8 catches, 89 yards. By far the leading receiver. Terry McLaurin against Quinyon Mitchell most of the time had 2 targets, 1 catch. 10 yards. There is no Austin Ekeler. We know he's out. There possibly could be no Zach Ertz, although we don't know yet. And it is somewhat encouraging that he's been practicing, somewhat encouraging that they haven't ruled him out yet. 7 targets, 6 catches, 47 yards, the late touchdown to get them back in it. And to give them a chance late. And I think he had a 2-point conversion, if memory serves me correct, but maybe I'm clouding that with another game. So they could possibly be without their 2 top receivers from the last game. But I think Terry is going to be targeted way more in this game. He has to, right? Especially with no Ekeler for sure, and maybe no, and I would say likely no Zach Ertz, but I can't say for sure. Until he's ruled out for sure. Just don't know. Remember, John Bates, had more targets and more catches and more yards for the Commanders in the Thursday night loss than Terry McLaurin. Think about that. Now, I would like Ben Sinnott to be more involved. I don't have a problem with John Bates, but, you know, like, the offense shouldn't run through John Bates. It should obviously run through Terry McLaurin. Running on the edges. We saw last week Brian Robinson, again, is better in the screen game or, you know, the dump down game or the check game or whatever than he's given credit for. Brian Robinson, I think, was on a pitch count. In that particular Thursday night game, remember, he had missed the Steelers game. He had missed the, I think the Giants, yeah, he had missed the Giants game the week before that, the Steelers a couple of days before that, and he had been hurt in the previous game. Everything's kind of going through my mind here. But he was on a little bit of a pitch count, right? So he only had one target, one catch for 9 yards in that game. I think he can replace some of the production that Eckler had. And what about K.J. Osborne? We had a call about him earlier in the show. I think K.J. Osborne could be a huge potential weapon, even if he only plays 12, 13, 14, 15 snaps. Again, you could line him up inside, outside, maybe get him in an advantageous one-on-one matchup with one of the linebackers, and he can shake them, maybe on a wheel route, maybe on an out and up, something like that, from the slot. You move Terry around, as they've been doing a better job of. I do think this offense will be able to be more productive and will be better against the Philadelphia defense than they were on the Thursday night. That's not to say that they're going to have a 40 burger in their sights. That's not happening. But you don't need it to happen if the defense doesn't fall apart in the fourth quarter. We'll tackle that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Plus, our dueling Super Six Packs for Sunday's NFL action. That's right, baby. Two six packs, not just one, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.